back to Cofield & Company in the Findlay Toyota Studios.
Gruden mic'd up. I remember a lot of the stuff was at training camp.
Ho, 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 ho! Santa Claus is here! Huddle up!
Hey, I'm not going to be a real patient guy now. Huddle up! Huddle up! You know what? You're like my wife when you get in space. You just get lost.
You know, we're going to talk Hard Knocks in about 20 minutes.
Yeah, we are.
And I feel like, well, it is your Browns, so.
It is.
It is your Browns. Matt Schneidman helps us out talking Raiders generally on Tuesdays, and we're rolling out the Raider coverage here as the season's right around the corner, preseason's right around the corner. It's Cofield & Company here on ESPN Las Vegas. What's up, Matt?
How are you guys?
We are good. Very good. In the first week of camp, has there been anything that you would call Hard Knocks material?
Oof. You know, maybe it's because I've been around John Gruden enough that I'm kind of used to his theatrics a little bit by now. But even then, there hasn't been anything too noteworthy in terms of the clips you guys just played, which I actually kind of laughed at. Hadn't heard those ones before. But I wouldn't say anything too Hard Knocks like yet. I would assume maybe we'll get one here in the next couple days with the Lions. Today's practice was a lot more intense, a lot more theatrics, a lot more intensity. So maybe in the next couple days, but nothing that sticks out yet.
And it's not like the Raiders got, well, I was going to use the word, the Raiders got screwed out of doing Hard Knocks. They actually weren't eligible, right? If I'm correct. New coaches.
Correct.
You cannot be put on Hard Knocks.
I think that's a dumb rule because I bet, you know, the Browns is going to be very interesting from what I've heard, but I bet people would like to see, you know, John Gruden, Derek Carr, Marshawn Lynch on HBO.
Wouldn't it be worth it to be a show of just Gruden and Lynch interactions?
I think people would watch that. I would definitely watch that. That would definitely be worth it.
Have you seen any so far, or do they kind of keep that under wraps?
No, they're always interacting, you know. Whether Carr and Lynch and, you know, the other quarterbacks, Gruden talks to guys during every play, and Gruden and Marshawn are a lot more alike than I think people first thought. You know, obviously, Marshawn kind of does his own thing. He's this big personality, and John Gruden is very in-your-face, aggressive, and we didn't know if those two personalities would mesh. But I think they've done just that. Been a lot of questions about that and, you know, how he and Derek Carr would mesh, and I think, at least from early indications, both pairings have done just fine.
Yeah, I'm not that surprised that Gruden will be able to interact with guys. I mean, he's been around the game, mm-hmm. around players, and players know who he is, so I think it's easy for them to kind of respect him in a way, but has there been any indication that being out of the game and now jumping into a training camp here has been difficult for Gruden, or is there an adjustment process that you're kind of witnessing?
I wouldn't say difficult. I think one thing that's been funny is he's dropped a couple times, you know, obviously the reference to him throwing it back to 1998, that kind of got blown out of proportion from the combine. There was the other day when he said, I'm showing the team film from 1964, but this isn't a 1964 operation we're running, and people kind of took that and ran with it. I don't think that's struggling to adjust to the times. I just think you know, outsiders or the common fan will see that as struggling to adjust to the times. But for him, it's getting his players to appreciate the history of the game. And bottom line, and we've heard this from players and Gruden and coaches, you know, things that worked back then can still work now. And, you know, a good route is a good route run. And a good throw is a good throw. So even though it is decades old, some things in football back then will still work today.
So, you know, we know that, you know, Gruden's kind of coming back in and he has the big name and everybody's excited to see how they perform during the season, but does training camp look different? You know, apart from him talking and, you know, him being the entertaining figure at the press conferences and that sort of thing, does the camp actually look any different?
Not really. Different in the sense that there's just so many new faces. I mean, the feel around camp, obviously, as it would be in any new season, is just one of much more optimism than last season. And even more so because there's a new coaching staff, a lot of new players. Guys are really excited about Jordy Nelson, not so much Martavis Bryant. He hasn't drawn rave reviews exactly from Gruden. But the whole new staff, just Gruden coming back to his old stomping grounds, and the work he's done with Derek Carr and the amount he's challenging him compared to last year's staff is reason for optimism, I think, for this fan base. So it's different in the sense that there's just new life and new blood in here, and they're saying and doing the right things. Obviously, that could be different once the regular season starts and all this hype could go away, but for now, everything seems nice and peaceful.
All the players seem to be happy campers with Gruden, especially the way, well, specifically the way Gruden works the media. He'll go after players like he did with Bryant. Anyone complaining about that? That is a Gruden hallmark.
Yeah, I mean, we would love to get to talk to Bryant about what he thinks about his coach kind of calling him out in the media, but he has not yet been made available to us since he was traded, the day after he was traded. So Derek Carr said today, you know, Martavis is doing fine with the offense. He's made a huge jump from the start of training camp. We expect him to say that, but I do think it was interesting. I was talking to Jerry McDonald, who I cover the team with, and who covered Gruden during his first stint in Oakland, and he said, you know, sometimes Gruden will do that, to subtly call out his, or not so subtly call out his players in the media and hope it gets back to them, to really send them a message.
Yeah, I saw some of the Buccaneers from his last stint said that was one of the things that bothered them. Why do you think they're holding back Bryant? Is it the obvious? They just don't want him to have to deal with any rumors of positive tests? Is there another reason he hasn't been made available?
Maybe. You know, we haven't gotten a specific explanation, but I would think it has to do with that, exactly what you said, how he feels about rumors. Are you on the right path? Because the talk around him right now, none of it is too positive, whether that be with the reports of the Raiders fearing a suspension or Gruden's criticism of him. So, you know, as the Raiders, they're doing their job. They're doing their job well, whether we like it or not. There's not much positive going around Martavis Bryant right now, so why would they trot him out in front of us?
Matt Schneidman with us, Bay Area News Group. Lions today, that was a scrimmage?
Mm-hmm.
How'd that go? I saw that Derek Carr, disaster! Not really. He threw an interception, first interception, right?
Yeah, well, it was way more intense, just the speed of practice. There were a couple skirmishes, no true fights. Carr did throw his first interception, and I guess it's not too concerning, but it's also the first practice against an actual opponent, so take that with a grain of salt. Darius Slay, who's a really good cornerback in this league, picked him off, and it was kind of a scramble drill, so Carr kind of just lollygagged it up there. He kind of was kicking himself after practice for that. But Emmanuel Lemieux, the sixth-year linebacker who's played under Paul Gunther before, had a really nice acrobatic interception of Matthew Stafford. Couple of running backs, Chris Warren, I know Keith Smith, the fullback, really laid some, not haymakers, but leveled some really, really nice hits on the Lions linebackers, so a little more physicality in the run game from the Raiders, if that was even possible with Marshawn Lynch. A couple of cornerbacks, reserve cornerbacks on the Raiders burned over the top, but just overall, it's good to see the Raiders playing against another team. You're really able to get a better gauge on what they can do. Obviously, we're nowhere near really drawing any sort of substantial conclusions yet, but just a new sense of life in practice because guys are able to hit other players that aren't on their own team and make plays against different looks that they haven't seen yet.
Well, how did the snapping and holding operation go now that they got rid of that left-footed kicker?
Yeah, well, you know, being the snapping and holding and kicking expert that I am, I didn't see too many differences, but, you know, I asked Eddie Pinheiro yesterday when he talked to us, how big of a difference is that actually? Because Don Gruden makes a big deal of it, how, you know, no one ever talks about the snap and the hold, they just talk about the kick. Pinheiro kind of deferred to the coaches. He's kind of a quiet guy. You know, whatever the coach wants out of the operation is fine. But I find it interesting. At the beginning of camp, Gruden really said Johnny Townsend is good enough of a holder to adjust to both. And then he also said, you know, we're going to wait till preseason games to judge the Tavecchio versus Pinheiro competition. Obviously, that didn't happen, and now the real reason is because it just makes it easier on Townsend. I think he could hold for both, but it's just easier on a day-in and day-out basis to hold for two right-footed kickers instead of have the added responsibility of switching off every other day.
This is going a little deep. They're fine with the snapper, right?
Oh, they have the highest-paid long snapper in the NFL.
Yep. Yeah, tell them about this dude because they paid him gigantic money to take him from the Buccaneers.
The Bears, I believe,
Bears,
it was Andrew
okay.
DePaula. Yeah. So I think the backup long snapper in camp is the one guy who just absolutely knows he has zero chance of making this team, because if you have the highest paid long snapper in the league, he's making your team.
So let's talk a little defensive line. I saw you wrote about the defensive line and Mario Edwards Jr. and some of the guys who were drafted. Is it actually a tight race, or is this one of those things like, hey, these guys are developmental dudes and Edwards is safe?
Well, I think Mo Hurst is definitely not a developmental guy. I think, you know, they don't want to thrust him or Arden Key into too much right now, but Mo Hurst and Arden Key are going to be prominent on this defensive line. They really like what they have out of both guys. Key especially has been really impressive in just one-on-one and two-on-two pass rushing drills. You know, Edwards just has to stay healthy. And as simple as that sounds, he hasn't made it simple the past couple of years. I could easily see Mo Hurst overtaking him. You know, but we don't talk about Justin Ellis, probably because he's more of a nose tackle, run-stopping guy. But, you know, P.J. Hall was on the pup for a little bit at the beginning of camp, so he's a little bit behind. But Mo has looked really good. Edwards has looked good, too. Like he said, he got some advice from Warren Sapp, who was in the area today. So it's going to be an interesting battle, because defensive tackle in the defensive line was very subpar last year, and that's obviously why they brought in some new blood there, whether it be Tank Carradine or Hurst or Hall. So I think that kind of lit a fire under Mario Edwards, switching from defensive end to defensive tackle, and now he has to stave off two rookies, which I don't know if he'll be able to do.
Is there a position battle or a roster battle that you show up every day and you're like, oh, I really want to see what's happening at this spot?
I would say, just in terms of the tightest battle, I would say backup quarterback, but there, by no means do I show up every day and said, wow, I'm really excited to watch the backup quarterback's battle today. Because EJ Manuel threw three interceptions today, so maybe that's a little separation in the battle, if you even want to call it a battle. But I think, I would say, let's see, I would probably say either linebacker, you know, strong side linebacker, Emmanuel Lemieux. Obviously, I said I had a nice interception today. Nicholas Morrow's pushing for that spot. Markell Lee's right there behind Derek Johnson at middle linebacker. It'll be interesting to see what pans out there. Right tackle, I would say, is probably the one I'm most interested to watch. Ian Silverman has been getting a lot of first-team reps because Breno Giacomini and Brandon Parker are both out. So Silverman's been getting a lot of first-team reps. They've also used David Sharp at right tackle a little bit. He's currently backing up Colton Miller on the left side. But right tackle is probably that biggest area of concern on the offensive line, and it's really up in the air. I think, you know, none of those options are proven to be extremely sturdy, so it'll be interesting to see who rises to the top in that battle.
Matt, what's the vibe in the Bay Area from the fans? I mean, the end of the road is coming. They're moving to Vegas soon. I know you were out at that event at Ricky's, right?
Right, yeah.
So what was it like there? I would assume everyone is jacked about Gruden, but I mean, are they a little hesitant? It's like, hey, we're throwing all our support behind Gruden and the organization, and you guys are freaking bailing in a couple of years.
Right. I talked to a couple longtime season ticket holders there, and, you know, they're still caught up in the Gruden hype, and Gruden has done a really good job of embracing the local fans and showing how much he loves Oakland. And whenever he refers to the team he coaches, he says the Oakland Raiders, not just the Raiders, because he knows how much, you know, this team means to the people of the Bay Area, and he knows how much it'll hurt them when they root for Las Vegas. So I think, you know, next season we'll start to see some of the last hurrah and the sorrow going around before the season. But right now, I think everyone's just excited for year one of Gruden and hoping they get a championship here in the next 2 years. I don't know how realistic that is. But I think right now people are just trying not to think about it, as cliche as that sounds.
Did you eat at Ricky's when you were there?
Oh, I did, of course.
What'd you get?
A little corn on the cob. There was a nice burger, some great food there. It was my first time there. Great event.
Did you demand that a dish is named after you?
I did not.
What's going on? How long have you been on the beat now?
Ray Ratto's
got popcorn shrimp. What's going on?
I'm coming up on a year. I do not deserve to have any sort of dish named after me at Ricky's yet.
I assume Greg Papa's Buffalo Wings will be renamed.
Oh, Brent Musburger's Buffalo Wings.
Who? Does he automatically get the buffalo wings? Is that right? Oh, JT. JT's got the sampler platter.
Wow.
I would love to be a sampler platter. Oh, this is great. Boy, everything there. Spike and Howie's tri-tip sandwich. All right, enough of just reading a menu. Let me get your Vegas take on a couple of things. It's very early. So,
sure.
If you're wrong, we will lock these in as official predictions. If you'd like to change them, we may or may not correct it down the road. Win total.
Sounds good to me.
Win total is 8 for the Raiders, over under 8. I'm talking to a lot of sharps who are not real high on the over 8 for the Raiders.
Oof, because I actually think they're going to go 8-8 or 9-7, so I'm going to go over.
Okay. Adam, where are you right now on the Raiders?
I'm under.
Are you?
Yeah.
How far?
I think they're 6 or 7 wins.
Okay.
That's fair.
All right. What do you think of these odds to win the West? You ready for this? It's very tight, which I think is ridiculous. I think the Broncos stink. But Broncos pull up the rear at 5-1. Raiders are 3-1. I'm not sure the Chiefs are any better than an 8-8 team. They're 2.5-1, and the Chargers are the favorite. You agree the Chargers should at least be the slight favorite?
They should win the division if they have any players with two working knees left by the time the season starts.
Boy, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's unfortunate for them. You hate to see that, but the Chargers should win the division. I have the Raiders second, Broncos third, Chiefs last.
I mean, the other weird thing with the Chargers making them the favorite is you're playing 6 games in division. I think I did that there. 6 games in division. I mean, it's not the same road environment for all of them. There's essentially 6 road games. Like how when you
I
when
also
you were,
think people I, are yeah, I think people are just so high on the Chargers because of how they finished last season. I don't know if that will carry over. You know, you never know if age will start to show in Phillip Rivers. He's certainly still a good quarterback. Keenan Allen's one of the best receivers in the league. You know, Casey Hayward is a really good quarterback, cornerback. But Jason Verrett out for the year already. I mean, they're probably the biggest wild card in the division, I would say.
How bad was the home field last year for the Chargers in L.A. against the Raiders?
I thought the game was at the Coliseum. I didn't even notice it was a Chargers home game. Yeah. I mean, it was ridiculous.
And we know Denver fans travel and Kansas City fans travel big time. I mean, obviously, the Raiders in L.A., it's a freaking road game for the Chargers, so they've got that to overcome. All right, Matt, we want to catch up with you soon. But before we do that, we want to make you part of the company, so we've got our company queries. This could be anything we're talking about today, we've already talked about. These are not easy questions, okay, my friend? By the way, Matt, are you, you're not over 30 yet, right?
No, I'm not even close.
Ooh, all right, first question. Can you name all 3 sisters on the Brady Bunch and their 4-eyed cousin?
No, I can't.
You can't name one of them?
I'm 23 years old.
It's the Brady Bunch. It's iconic,
you
Matt.
You watched the Brady Bunch movie.
Tom, Giselle, and what's their youngest?
The
what's their kid's name?
Wow, we got him here. We got him here. All right.
Look, it put me on the spot.
I know. That's the whole point of this. You're part of the company. You come in, you just get the questions thrown at you. Doesn't mean it's entertaining, but pressure's on. Matt Schneidman's with us. All right. Do you wear flip-flops when you go to work at the camp?
No, I'm strictly a sneakers guy.
Good. Adam, do you wear flip-flops to, like, Golden Knights practice or USC media days?
Cold Golden Knights practice.
Do you wear flip-flops ever to work?
No.
Okay.
No.
This is all based on Belichick showing up at the Hall of Fame, and he grosses me out with the jeans and the flip-flops.
Yeah.
I can't stand it.
I mean, he can do whatever he wants.
I understand that, but when I look down at his feet and the toenails are all... Ugh, forget it.
Right.
All right. Last one.
I agree with you.
This is going to sound like a loaded question, but it's legit. Who would you rather buy chicken from? We're talking at a restaurant. Guy Fieri, who's a Bay Area guy, or Flavor Flav?
Mm-hmm. Ooh. I'm going to say Guy Fieri, just because I was at a charity bocce ball tournament that Jack Del Rio held, and Guy Fieri and John Madden were there, and he was pretty good at bocce ball. So, you know, if he's good at bocce ball, he has to make good chicken, right?
I guess, yeah, maybe some chicken cacciatore, I don't know. Try to go with the Italian theme, chicken parm.
I would trust Guy Fieri. Flavor Flav probably would put a little something in it that wouldn't make me feel good afterward.
Or feel great.
Yeah, very chill. Very chill.
A little too much Flavor Flav in there, probably.
All right, Matt. Well, we put you on the spot. Next time you're in, well, you're probably never coming back again, but we'll have more company queries for you.
Great.
Thanks, Matt.